All right, we're beginning a new subject. We're still in the apocalypse of man, which is just simply the revealing of man or the revelation of man. And this subject is something the Lord gave me back many years ago. And it's actually laid out in some different parts. But here recently, the Lord has really opened up something to me that I'll be sharing in the process of all this. But the first thing I want us to look at, we're going to read some scripture. I want us to look at the first and the last Adam. Have you ever heard of first and last Adam? Not first and second Adam. And that is extremely significant. There's a first and second man. So we're talking about a first and last or final Adam. Okay? And so now we'll talk about the significance of that as we go along. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning with verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward the spirit. That is extremely significant. The natural comes first. Okay? We'll talk about that as we go along. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, I want you to look closely at this. Flesh and blood cannot, that makes it an impossibility, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And I'm going to tell you why they can't. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Flesh and blood is natural. So the natural man can't inherit a spiritual kingdom. But you're not natural. Have you learned that yet? Are you getting anything out of the class? So you're spiritual. Okay? All right, let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, how did sin get here? Through Adam. And so you were born in sin. So it's not sin acts that makes you a sinner. It's sin nature that makes you a sinner. Okay? That's also important. Then look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 22. 21 through 22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. I better read this translation. I started to quote it, but it won't be like this one. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Outward man, inward man. What are we talking about? Flesh, spirit. Right? You're catching on. Good. The first Adam submitted to the flesh. Did he not? Now I want you to see something in this. You go back to the garden, then go back to Genesis chapter 2, actually, where God planted the garden. He put the man in it, and he gave the man a command. This is before the woman was ever created. And he told the man King James Version says dress and keep, or we could say till it and guard it, protect it, till it and protect it. God's saying, work the garden, not by the sweat of your brow, that hasn't come yet. In other words, work should be pleasant, and God created you to work. And I'm a strong proponent of work, physical labor, because God is, okay? So, guard it, till it, and then God gives Adam another assignment. This is before the woman got on the scene. He said, name all the animals. And what I want you to see in this is man is created in the image of God. Man is created with creative ability. Now think about the magnitude of that assignment. Name all the animals. You don't even remember the names of all the animals, right? Some animals I can look at and I don't know their name. And Adam has the assignment of naming them. So out of his spirit, man, these names are coming to him. And whatever he called it, that was his name. God didn't change the name of anything. It came out of the inward man. Okay? And then, you know, Adam sees all these animals. Male, female, male, female, male, female. It says, but there was not a help suitable for the man. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he took, not out of the dirt, but out of the man. He took the rib, and from the rib, he made woman. Now, Adam named her woman because she was taken from man. And Adam named her Eve. God didn't. As a matter of fact, she didn't have a name other than Adam until after the fall. Check me out. You won't check me out. God called their name Adam. God called their name Adam. See, people haven't caught on to this yet. In this society, when a man and a woman are married in holy matrimony, not in the perverted garbage that's going on today, what happens? Her name becomes his. They got that from God, whether they know it or not. So it was Mr. Adam and Mrs. Adam. Right? Now, Mr. Adam has responsibility. Mr. Adam is to guard the garden. Now, why would God tell him to guard the garden if there wasn't an enemy coming? God knew what was going to happen, so he warns him in advance. And so when you get to the third chapter of the Genesis, you see the serpent come on the scene, and he makes an illegal entry. He does not approach the man. He knows that man has authority over him, that man has dominion to drive him out of that garden. So he doesn't approach the man. He approaches the woman with deception. He gets her looking on the focus on the external. Now, you've got to appreciate this. Up until this point, they don't even know they're naked. What does that mean? They put no attention on the flesh. None whatsoever. And when you don't put any attention on the flesh, there is no shame. Isn't that amazing? So he gets her attention on the flesh. Look at that fruit. Isn't that beautiful? You know, it'd be amazing to know if you could see a comparison between the fruit on the tree of life and the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evidently, this was a beautiful fruit, and this one probably didn't look all that good. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not. This was enticing. So he gets the woman's attention on that fruit. Then, that'd be good stuff to eat. What is it? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh? Getting out of the spirit now and getting the attention on the physical man. And then this was the kicker. You eat that and you'll be like God. You'll know bad from good. You'll know the knowledge of good and evil, right? You'll have knowledge. You'll be like God. You'll be able to know good and evil. Innocence is a beautiful place to live because there's no violation. You're just innocent. Right? So the woman fell for the line. Do you know Satan still uses those three things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life? After all these years, we haven't caught on to it yet. I think I told you guys, I told somebody, 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it says, in whom the God of the world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And I was asking the Lord, how does Satan blind the minds? And he said, the flesh. If Satan can get you focused on the flesh, you don't see the Spirit. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. So where's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. God is spirit. The kingdom of heaven, there's two kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven, the Lord's Prayer, as we say, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom in heaven and there's a kingdom in earth. Right? And both are spiritual kingdoms. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, whether it's on earth or whether it's in heaven, it's a spiritual kingdom. And the reason Matthew calls it kingdom of heaven, it's a kingdom that originates out of heaven. It's a dominion or a government that originates from heaven. And he calls it the kingdom of God in Mark and Luke because God's the one that owns the kingdom. It's a kingdom that comes out of heaven from God. So God's the governor of the kingdom, right? So if Satan can get you looking on the flesh, he'll keep you from walking into kingdom principles. That's pretty profound. Okay? So what does he want to do? He wants to get you on the flesh. So he got the woman on the flesh. Now here's Adam standing here beside of Mrs. Adam. And he's not doing a thing to run the serpent off. He's not protecting his wife. Is he? Now, Paul writing to Timothy says, Adam was not deceived. He was not deceived. But when his wife offered him the fruit, he took it and ate. And their eyes were open and they realized they're naked. And they hide. Flesh hides from God. You know I'm telling you the truth. You're just talking to someone today. You know, I grew up in church and all this. I was just a heathen in church that had memorized a lot in the Bible. And they thought, I should be teaching a Sunday school class. Here I am, not even born again, teaching Sunday school class out of their quarterly. I'm just teaching their doctrine. dumb as a wall, don't know what I'm teaching, you know. But because I wasn't living right, the church had a basement, and I was afraid, you know, the minister stood out there and shook everybody's hand when they left, you know, there at the foyer. And I was afraid that if he shook my hand, that God was going to tell on me. So I went out the basement door. What can I say? I was a sinner. Okay? So I went out the basement door to keep from getting exposed. I was hiding myself. I didn't want him to see my nakedness, you understand? That's what flesh does. Flesh hides itself. And he thought I was ill with him. He thought I had a problem with him. And you know, it wasn't until many years later God dealt with me to go to him and tell him the truth. That was after I got born again. And the interesting thing about it was at a cemetery where he was doing a funeral. And when I went up to him, he was a little skeptical of me at that time because I just hadn't been back from Vietnam all that long and I'd been doing martial arts and all that stuff and I don't know what he thought I was going to do. But when I approached him, he was a little nervous, and I told him, I said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, I owe you an explanation of why I did what I did. And I told him why, and he was relieved. You know? Oh, it was him. I didn't know what was going to happen, but he's accepting the guilt now and all this other. But all that was the flesh was afraid of getting into the presence of God, because the presence of God will expose your sin.
Yep.
Amen.
You understand? It'll expose you. So, Adam and the woman hid from God. And when God said, Adam, where are you? It wasn't because God didn't know where Adam was.
Yeah.
He let Adam locate himself. You understand? God will let you locate yourself. You get in the presence of God, He'll let you locate yourself. Now, a lot of people put up facades. They get real religious in the presence of God because they don't want people to know that their heart's not right with God. So they'll go through the motions. You can learn the lingo. You can learn all this. You're not going to deceive the Spirit of God. I've had people that, you know, over the years, just, as a matter of fact, there's one particular person that just stands out in my mind. I'd been teaching, and after that class, this woman came up about to shake my arm off, you know, telling me how great I was, and that was the best teaching she ever heard, and I knew it was the devil that was talking all along. You understand? It was a cover-up. It was a cover-up. But if you're listening in the Spirit, you don't fall for that stuff. You know it's the Spirit. You know the Spirit of God. You know the Spirit of the devil. I don't need the devil telling me nothing. You understand? You don't entertain that stuff. A lot of people like it when the devil amens them. They're looking for it. You know, I mean, preachers feed on this stuff. Better get in the Spirit and listen in the Spirit. Otherwise, you find yourself like Adam and the woman. You find yourself in a place you don't want to be. Well, because of Adam's disobedience, here's what happened. And the Lord just opened this up to me, and it's so clear to me now. That once Adam yielded to the flesh dominated from that point forward. Everything Adam produced was under the dominance of the flesh. We were in his loins. We came out of him. That's why we're born in sin. Okay? So we're born with the tendency of flesh dominance. That's why you must be born again. A person who is not born again will always be dominated by the flesh.
Amen.
Even if they operate with demonic spirits, familiar spirits or whatever, they're still under the domination of the flesh. Satan preys on the flesh. Satan uses the flesh. He can take you to a point. He can reveal certain things and all this, but he always focuses on the flesh. And if he can keep you focused on the flesh, then you'll never see what God intended for you to do here on planet Earth. You came here for a purpose. But many people don't know the purpose. Many people live and die without ever realizing or fulfilling purpose because they were blinded. And from the time that child's born, it's just pumped full of flesh, full of flesh. And you see it, you know, we call them spoiled rotten and all that. That just means they want what they want. And boy, we have a generation today that's the epitome of that. They want what they want, okay? And so what happens is that person becomes more engrossed in the flesh. So everything in life, they're looking for life to gratify the flesh.
Yep.
And they can do it in various ways, through hobbies, through addictions, through external things, extracurricular activity, whatever. They're looking for something that's going to gratify the flesh. And as long as you're reaching out and you're doing something that the flesh enjoys, it keeps you blinded to the kingdom of God, to the government of God, to what the Spirit wants to do in your life and through your life. And that's why God is telling us to walk in the Spirit. Because if you don't, the flesh is going to dominate you and beat you up. Now, you can't help being born with that nature. There was nothing you could do about it. But once you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is something you can do about it. You can change your nature. Isn't that amazing? You can change your nature by making a right decision. Because through Jesus Christ, we now have the privilege to walk in the Spirit. And what happens when you walk in the Spirit? You don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So if you're looking at what the flesh wants, and you're feeding the flesh, the Spirit is being deprived. It's not a little flesh, a little spirit. It's either or. And religion will give you both of them. You understand? It won't release you to follow God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It'll hold you back into an arena of flesh. And actually, if you look at religion, and you look at the religious handbooks and the, you know, their constitution, bylaws, their tenets of faith, and all this, you'll find it saturated with flesh. Not spirit. You'll find external control, not internal control. And if you're controlled internally, you don't need an external control over you. If you're operating with the nature of God, do you think you're going to sin? It's not in God's nature to sin. So you don't need a law to govern you. And this is what grace is. It's not a license to sin. Grace is actually letting you know now you can be trusted. You don't need a law governing your life. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You just follow the Spirit and you're going to do right. Of course, you can get in the ditch on both sides of the road and people do. Well, in order to understand the concept of the first and the last Adam, we need to understand the key components of man, inward man, outward man. inward man, outward man, and that's basically what we're going to be dealing with in this study. We've already looked at the three-part man, right? Now I want us to look at the inward man and the outward man, because there's a war that goes on with the inward man, outward man. The seventh chapter of Romans, Paul says, is writing, what I want to do, I don't. Inward man wants to do good. Outward man says, no, that wouldn't be fun. Inward man says, I don't want to do that. The outward man says, you've got to do this. This would be fun. This is exciting. You understand? So you have this conflict going on. Inward man, outward man. Inward man wanting to please God. Outward man wanting to please you. So what did Jesus say? You ought to die. You have to die. You have to die to self. I'm not talking about a physical death. A lot of people could die easier physically than they could giving up stuff. Die to self. Die to self. Isn't it interesting how many drug addicts die taking drugs? They'll die before they'll give it up. Amazing, isn't it? It takes such control over their lives. Now, the outward man relates to Adam. So, that's natural. Outward man's natural, right? Outward man's fleshly man. Actually, when you look at, especially in Romans, when you look at the 8th chapter, when he's making the contrast and he uses the word carnality in the King James Version, if you look that word up in the Greek, it's sarkikos, and it simply means pertaining to the flesh. So when we talk about the carnal man, the fleshly man, we're talking about the things that pertain to the flesh, the things that are dealing with pleasing you rather than pleasing God. And this is a choice that we make throughout our life. Do I please me? Do I please God? And flesh wants you to please flesh, and God wants you to walk in the Spirit. Well, the inward man obviously relates to Jesus. It's in the Spirit man, the born-again man, okay? So while the outward man identifies with Adam, the inward man is identifying with Christ. Now, even though the inward man born again identifying with Christ, the outward man hasn't been reprogrammed. That's why Romans 12:2 and James 1:21 talks about the Word of God to renew your mind, receive meekness and grafted Word of God, which is able to save your souls. That just simply means that you want your soul in agreement with your spirit, not in agreement with the natural. Does that make sense? You want your soul agreeing with the Spirit. So what is Spirit? Here, the kingdom of God is real simple. These are things the Lord has been showing me here lately. And it's so simple, it's plain as it is on your face. He said to walk in the Spirit is simply to walk in obedience to the Word of God and not violate your spirit, the inward man. If you don't violate the inward man, you do what the inward man is prompting you to do, and you walk according to the Scriptures, you're walking in Spirit. Not something real mystical. It's something real disciplined. Because that means when you read the Bible, that all the Bible is meant for you. It's not a catalog to pick and choose. And that's how a lot of people approach the Bible. They want this Scripture. Well, I walk in the benefit. I want the benefits of God, you know. Give me life, give me peace, give me health, give me prosperity, but don't put any responsibility on me and don't make me accountable for my actions. And yet there is accountability. And talking to someone today, you know, we're talking about the love of God. God is love. And this is how you know the disciples of God. They love one another. Well, that eliminates a lot in churches today. They hate one another. They sit in the same church, on the same church, and can't stand on the same message and can't stand one another. Gossip, backbite, devour one another. No. He says, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen? So if I love God, I'm going to love you. In spite of how you are, It's not based on your conduct or performance. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Aren't you glad that God's love is not based on your performance? We would have all been in trouble. And we would still be in trouble. But it's not that way. Even on the cross, as Jesus is being crucified, He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now you tell me that's not love. Not give them what they deserve. Not kill them. Forgive them. Stephen said that. Didn't he? So there's some things that we need to learn. See, there's such difference between the flesh and the spirit. The natural man and the inward man. And the natural man says, "I absolutely will not submit to anything God says. I don't agree with God." Paul says it this way, the flesh is hostile, if you want to actually look the word up, is hostile toward God. It's not subject to God. It can't be. It will not submit to God because they're diametrically opposed. They don't want the same things. And you won't submit to someone that doesn't want what you want. You may obey. But inside you, you're against their thoughts and ideas. And that's where a lot of people that attend church on a regular basis are. They're against God in their thoughts and ideas. And they're just doing will worship. Not coming out of the heart. Okay? I'm going to stop, take a break here, and then we'll pick back up with this. Actually, I'm still in the introduction of all this, okay?